Welcome, everybody. My name is Dan Buzzard, and I am a social studies teacher at the senior high school for 11th grade. I teach American history as well as American government, and today I am going to be your radio host for the next 15 minutes. I'm going to talk about the weather. As many of you know, I run my own little weather Twitter, and I like to think of myself as a weather fanatic. So the last week has been kind of weird. We went from being nice and sunny and we were outside in shorts to, well, it snowed last night. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And then I am going to give you a little bit of a lesson on, I think, one of the most interesting presidents to learn about all time, and that is Andrew Jackson. If you don't know a little bit about Andrew Jackson, hopefully by the end of this radio segment, you'll know a little bit more of how crazy and how interesting of a man that man was. And if I have any time at the end, I will talk about the news a little bit, but I'll try to keep that segment short. But I would like to start out by saying the Pledge of Allegiance, as all of us as teachers have, starting out our radio segment. So here we go. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Man, it feels weird. I haven't said that in so long. Also, we have our storm quote of the day that I would like to give to you. And the quote is, "The respect you give others is a dramatic reflection of the respect you give yourself." And guys, to extend upon that a little bit, for all of you listening right now, students or otherwise, I know that while we are in a building, it's easy as teachers for us to keep kind of a pulse on the overall morale, the overall actions of our student body. But now that we are online doing remote instruction, I feel a huge disconnect between me and not understanding and not realizing how you all are doing at home and how you are treating each other. It's very easy in the hallways to see every day how you are treating one another. If you are being kind, if you are doing the things that through the STORM program we have been trying to teach you how to do. And I just want to reaffirm with you guys that please keep each other to the same standard as we had while we were in school. We want you to be the best version of yourself. And even though we know that you are supposed to stay home as of right now, you're a stay-at-home order. I know a lot of you are probably still going out and working, possibly a lot more hours than you were before. And again, I want to reiterate that please be the best version of yourself. Be nice, be respectful, because truly now more than ever, we truly don't know how much people are being affected by this. We don't know what they are going through. So please, guys, be very understanding that on the outside, people may be putting up a strong front, but on the inside, they may be going through things at home that are dramatically affecting their mental state. So please reach out to somebody. If you haven't heard from someone in a while, reach out to someone, say hello, ask them how they're doing. So just be a courteous human being in these very trying times. I know we are trying to stay as normal as possible with this remote instruction. I try to reach out and talk to my kids every day if I can. And for a lot of you, I have. And I still feel that I'm not reaching enough. So I thought that this would be a nice time to extend that to anybody. Guys, if you need anything, please let me or any of us teachers know. I know that me, myself, and a lot of us are really wanting to help guys as many people as possible. If you need anything, please, again, reach out. Okay, so let's move on a little bit. I told you that the first topic that I wanted to discuss today was the weather. And as I mentioned briefly before, we've had quite a wild swing of temperatures and weather over the last week, and welcome to April in Pennsylvania. Some of you, as of last week, may wanted to go outside and plant some things, and all of a sudden we're going to have a freeze warning tomorrow night. So please, if you have anything planted outside, make sure that those are covered up, or if they're in pots, bring them inside. But kind of here's the rundown of what we're looking at. Today, again, is Thursday, April 16th, and yesterday on Wednesday, it was very nice, it was very deceptive The sun was shining until the end of the day, and then we kind of had a low front coming fast moving through the area that brought us some rain and then snow showers as it transitioned to a low of 29, around 29 last night. And today, we also in the morning had a freeze warning because the low was around 29. But today's weather, it's supposed to be around the same thing, around a high of 47, a low of 30. On Friday, we have another low pressure heading this way from the Midwest that will bring more winter-like precipitation on Friday as snow showers will begin to arrive around dawn. You can expect anywhere from a half inch to a quarter inch of snow on Thursday night into Friday morning, which is crazy to think about. And then on Saturday, as that cold front moves through and it'll be out of this region, we should get back up into the mid-50s, and then on Sunday, we have something very similar where we are going to get to the mid-50s, and then Sunday night, we're going to have a little bit of rain, and then next week, it does look, guys, like we are going to be able to get back up into our normal April temperatures. It looks to be the mid to upper 50s, low 60s. And then into next weekend, we could see temperatures upwards of 70. So it looks like this little cold snap that we're getting over the next few days could be our last threat of snow or very cold weather over the next couple weeks. So to reiterate, to summarize, just in case you have been longing for my weather reports, if you were in my classroom and you no longer are today, we are going to be partly cloudy around 42 to 45. Then on Thursday night into Friday, we're going to have a rain-snow chance, which is never good, especially if you have anything outside planted. Then on Friday night, we are going to get another bout of rain-snow. And then to Saturday, as that low moves out, we are going to see temperatures rebound back up into the 50s. And then into next week, we are going to be again into the mid-50s to the low 60s. So there is your nice little Mr. Buzzard weather report for you, just in case you are longing for that, which I know many of you undoubtedly were. But let's now transition into my little mini history lesson today on a guy that if you ever have been in my class, I drop random facts about this guy all the time because I think he is absolutely fascinating to learn about, and that is Andrew Old Hickory Jackson. So I want to give you a little rundown on where he was born, kind of how he became to be. And so I'm going to give you a nice little bio overview of this president, and then I am going to give you some more random facts about this guy as I love to spew. And then I'm going to talk a lot about cheese. You heard me correct, cheese. I love cheese, and so did this man, and boy, do we have a story about cheese for Andrew Jackson. So here we go, a little mini history lesson. First off, this man served as president all the way back from 1829 to 1837, and he was the seventh president of the United States of America. His party was a Democrat before things switched, and he had two vice presidents. The first one was John Calhoun. The other one was Martin Van Buren. Calhoun, who he ended up absolutely loathing, and I'll mention that a little bit later, he absolutely hated this man because he saw him as being unloyal, and then Martin Van Buren, who of course went on to be president himself. Okay? Now, a little bit more. He was born March 15th, 1767, in Waxhaw, South Carolina, and he ended up dying near Nashville, Tennessee, where he moved. I'll tell you a little bit. He moved to and started about a 1,000-acre farm there. He was married. His wife was named Rachel. They did not have any children, but they did have three adopted sons. And he was a legal guardian for more than eight other children, and he had many nicknames, but the most prominent one was Old Hickory, and I will tell you where that came from in a second. So, what is this guy really known for in history? Well, he is the most famous for being considered to be the first common man to become president. He really did not have any or much of any formal education. He was born to very, very poor immigrant parents. They were from Ireland. And sadly, his father actually died just a few weeks before Andrew was born. but he grew up with siblings, and when Andrew turned 10, the Revolutionary War had begun, and his two older brothers actually joined the army, and Andrew, at the ripe age of 13, joined a local militia to be a messenger, actually a very dangerous job at the time. Both of his older brothers actually died in the war tragically, and Andrew survived, but had some very, very harrowing experiences when it came to being a messenger. He was actually captured by British soldiers and received a scar across his face from a sword of a British soldier while in captivity. Now, after the Revolutionary War was over, he became a lawyer, and he moved to Tennessee to practice law, and there is where he started up his own plantation called the Hermitage, which eventually grew to about 1,000 acres. And he ended up being Tennessee's first member of the U.S. House of Representatives, and he would also serve as a senator of Tennessee. And for everyone that is listening right now that may be in my class as we speak, we are learning about the legislative branch. And remember, he had to be 25 to be in the House of Representatives and 30 to be a senator of Tennessee. Okay. Then he kind of rose to fame, and during the War of 1812, he went from a relatively unknown congressman to a absolute bona fide legend in the military. And a lot of that had to do with the Battle of New Orleans, where he was put in charge and he actually won that battle. With 5,000 men, he soundly defeated about 7,500 British soldiers, and the British had over 2,000 casualties, while Jackson's army only suffered around 70. And after that battle was over, his soldiers went on to call him and say that he was tough as old hickory. And that then stuck and became his nickname. And it really did embody him as a person. When he was elected president, it was in 1828. He ran against John Quincy Adams in 1824. Even though he won the popular vote, he did not win the majority of Electoral College votes. It then went to Congress to decide who would become president, and they chose John Quincy Adams, another thing that if you're in my class, I will teach you about shortly. Then and again in 1828, Jackson ran. Even though his opponents attacked him personally and his wife, he went on to win the election. And sadly, his wife actually died a few weeks before his inauguration. He actually blamed his adversaries and their accusations for her death. Then he went on, he wanted to be a man of the people. Some people even gave him the nickname King Andrew, and he actually assumed more power than any president had before him, which led people to call him King Andrew. Jackson wanted a small but strong federal government. He fought against the National Bank. That was one of his biggest things while he was there, saying that it helped the rich and hurt the poor. He also insisted that states were required to follow federal laws. He died at the age of 78, and here, guys, are a few fun facts. When he died, when his wife died, he asked his wife's niece, her name was Emily, to actually be the first lady. Jackson was in a number of gun duels. He was actually shot in the chest. He managed to stay standing, looked the man dead in the eye, and he shot and killed his opponent, and that bullet could not be safely removed in his chest, and it stayed there for another 40 years. Jackson actually is the only president to ever be a prisoner of war, very interestingly. Another time, there was a would-be assassin that pulled out two separate pistols, tried to shoot Andrew Jackson the first time with the first pistol, and it misfired. So he took the other pistol, cocked it, and pulled the trigger, and that also misfired, which if you think about the chances of that are absolutely astronomical. And finally, upon leaving the presidency, Jackson said he had two regrets. Number one, that he was unable to shoot and kill Henry Clay or to hang John C. Calhoun. Clay was a political rival, while Calhoun was his first president who proved to be disloyal. And that would-be assassin I just told you about a little bit ago, he beat to an inch of his life with a cane. Now, I mentioned to you that I wanted to tell you a story about cheese. One of the when I was in college, I learned of a very interesting fact about his love of cheese, and that the president after him absolutely had to get the White House cleaned. And that is because he actually received almost a ton block of cheese from a dairy farmer in New York. And he eventually, towards the back end of his second term, took the cheese, put it in the entrance of the White House, and had a public, kind of a public opening of the White House, where more than 10,000 people came and ended up eating the block of cheese within 2 hours. But it still smelled so bad in that White House that the next president had to get the White House professionally cleaned, because a ton block of cheese sat in the White House for almost 2 years. That's absolutely incredible. So guys, I hope that you enjoyed my lesson today. I hope that you are all doing well. As I mentioned before, please let us know if you need anything. We are all here for you to make it through with you during these trying times. I'm signing off for now. Everyone have a great day. I am Mr. Buzzard, and now you'll have an elementary lesson. So have a nice day, everyone.